again. And we will start in Acts chapter 5 this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you, just remember praying for folks, Brother Curtis, Sister Brenda, others that are not here, those that are sick, make sure you keep them in your prayers if you would. Be praying for Brother Johnny. He took a spill and aggravated his back. So, and you know, I'm sure he can definitely use your prayers on that. And praise the Lord for Brother Butler being back with us. I'm glad you're here today and appreciate you coming out. All right, Acts chapter 5. And there's going to be a lot of Bible reading here this morning because we're going to be looking at three whole chapters here. So we're a lot of Bible reading. All right, Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why does it remain? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Ooh, church service would be a little different if things happened like that, didn't it? That'd be kind of tough. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added, were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut up with all safety, and the keepers standing without the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them out without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth for a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. And he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Father, again, thank you for the Word of God that we've read, and as we read more, I just pray you'd bless it to our hearts and help us to remember it. But I pray you'd use the Word of God in our hearts, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, when we look at this passage of this chapter here, we're going to see some things. Although it doesn't say anywhere that anybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't say those words, it's kind of obvious that they were. And most of what we're going to do, we're going to be focusing on those places where it says somebody was filled with the Holy Ghost as we go through this study. But I wanted to do this because I believe there's some important things here that we need to see. First of all, you see the incident with Ananias and Sapphira, right? How they lied to the Holy Ghost. And let me just say this, when it comes to your giving, don't lie about your giving. They didn't get they didn't have capital punishment in the church house because these people didn't give enough. There was capital punishment because they lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied to the Spirit. They wanted everybody to think they'd given everything. They wanted the praise of men, not the praise of God. That's what he said. He said, before it was sold, was it not thine own? It was yours. After it was sold, was it not in thy power? You could, if Ananias said, hey, we sold this land and we want to give half of it, or we want to give a third of it, or we want to give a dollar, would have been just fine. But they said, oh, we gave it all. And God dealt with them about it. But what you saw in Peter was the work of the Holy Ghost. Somebody being filled with the Spirit was able to discern what was going on. And I believe the Spirit told them what was going on. And God did that for a purpose. He's dealing with the issue of holiness in the church. And you know, one thing we need to do is, you know, the Bible says provide all things honest in the sight of all men. Well, we're supposed to provide things honest in the sight of men. Let's not lie to God. When we get to the point where we're trying to make everybody think we're more spiritual than we are, we're on dangerous ground. So let's just not pretend. Let's just let God work in our hearts and make something out of us. Amen? That's what we need to do. But you see that, you see the gifts of the Spirit being done there. Acts 5, 1 through 11, Peter's discernment, one of those gifts of the Spirit, if you read in 1 Corinthians, discerning of spirits, right? All right, and you see that, Peter's discernment, you see the signs and wonders and the healing and those things, you see those things, gifts of the Spirit being manifest. All right, so you see that. And you also see the fruit of the Spirit. You see love, joy, and long-suffering in Acts 5:41. But over in Acts 5:19, verse 32, and all the way down to 5:19 and then down to verse 42, you see something else there. You see the apostles giving witness with great power, having boldness and conviction to speak the word of God without fear. And what did Jesus say? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Right? So the whole point of us having the fullness of the Spirit is not just God gives the fruit that comes out when we yield ourselves to the Spirit. That fruit will come out. We'll be talking about that more as we go through that series. But also the gifts of the Spirit are manifest. If you yield yourself to the Spirit, the gifts, the spiritual gift that God gave you when you got saved, whatever He imparted, it's going to come out. And it's not necessary for you to sit there and say, I've got this gift and I've got that gift and everything. Just yield to the Spirit and it'll come out. Yeah. We yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost and the fruit of the Spirit will manifest. Yeah. And the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Most people think, oh, that must mean I got to speak in tongues or I got to do this. You know what? That is the most narrow and foolish understanding of the gifts of the Spirit.
That's right.
And of the fruit of the Spirit that we could possibly have. There's all that focus on those things. And yet, we're seeing not just those, quote, signs and wonders or sign gifts or however you want to do it, but we're seeing other things too, aren't we? We're seeing love. We're seeing people that are able to do things. And then we get to Acts chapter 6. And it says in Acts chapter 6, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You get a bunch of people together and people tend to favor one another and things like that. And now you got grumbling and murmuring and complaining because the flesh is getting in there. So once again, you're seeing the flesh, aren't we? People getting upset. People getting angry with one another. Whenever you get amongst people, you're going to have problems. And so they came to the 12, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Right. All right. So they said, we have to fix this, but we're not going to quit preaching to go out and serve tables. We have a ministry God's called us to. And you know, a lot of the things, and I'll just say this today, you know, I believe in pastor oversight of a church, but a lot of times people just want the preachers to do everything. And the preacher can't. I'll say this, if I could, I'd have done it. But I can't do everything. The apostles, and I'm no apostle. All right, but there were 12 of them and they couldn't do it all. And so they had wisdom given by the Holy Spirit. And look what they said. He said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In verse 3, he said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, a couple things real quick I want to say here. First of all, Stephen is oftentimes looked at the one that was truly filled with the Holy Ghost. But no, Philip was too. We have a lot about Philip, don't we? Being yielded to the Spirit. But and then the Catholic Church and some of the Protestant churches have made Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, from Antioch, they've made him the one that started the doctrine and the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and that's not true. The word Nicolaitan means to conquer the people. It doesn't have anything to do with the name Nicholas in the sense of this man. There's traditions and things where they besmirched this poor man's name, and I don't know whether he stayed right with God or not. But the reason why they do that is because the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is when it means to conquer the people. And it talks about an unscriptural division of the, quote, clergy and laity between the pastor and everybody else. I am not your Lord. Matter of fact, I am admonished by Peter himself not to be a Lord over God's heritage. I'm to be an ensample to the flock, a living example. I'm to preach the word of God faithfully, and if I have to stand against you, then I stand against you. I don't have any power in here other than what my scriptural authority, and even with all the scriptural authority in the world that I can quote out of the Bible, you know what? You kick me out the door today if you wanted to. You have that power. It's just that simple. Now you're going to answer to God.
That's right.
With how you use that power. But the simple fact is you have that power. Because I only got one vote in the thing. If we talk about what we want to do, it's my job to say this is what I believe God says we're supposed to do. And if you say, well, for good or for ill, if you say, no, we're not going that way, we believe we ought to go this way, that's the way you get to go. And, you know, the bottom line is real simple. This is the whole point about this, that idea of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But I don't want to get off on too much on a rabbit trail. I want to look at this, and I want you to see something. Now, let me ask you a question. It said you need to look out seven men of honest report. How did they know these men were of honest report? How did they know that these men were of honest report? They had proved themselves. In other words, they were able to see their behavior, right?
Right.
Okay. And he said that, and one other qualification he said is that they had to be men of honest report, and they had to have wisdom. Now, how did they know they had wisdom? By observing their behavior, the way they conducted themselves.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you get a bunch of folks in a room, and you can figure out who's honest, and you can figure out who's got a good head on their shoulders, right? But the qualifications were men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now let me ask you a question. How did they know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? By observation.
That's right.
By seeing the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit manifest in their lives. This didn't happen all in a day. This took place over some time. And when they said choose out seven men, I'm sure they had people in mind say, you know what? I think this is the man. And there was discussion among them, and they sat there and talked it out, and I'm sure they did that. And they finally brought them, and it said they brought them whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, what I'm trying to say to you, beloved, is this. I'm trying to say to you that when you are filled with the Spirit, it will come out in the way you conduct your life, the way you behave. The gifts that God has given you will be made manifest. But you have to yield yourself to the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will be manifest. Now, if we go to that passage in Galatians that talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, what you need to do is look at your own life and say, which of these am I putting out? And it's an amazing thing. We're all caught up on the gifts of the Spirit when we ought to be wanting the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you got 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Where Paul's in that whole thing from chapter 12 to chapter 14, where Paul is talking about their abuses and things that they did wrong about spiritual gifts. And he said in that, at the end of verse chapter 12, he said, "And yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Where did he take them? He took them to charity, godly love, divine love, however you want to term it. But he took them to love, to charity. And he said that was the more excellent way. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? If we spend more time wanting to be filled with the Spirit and wanting to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, if that was our desire, we'd see more change. We'd see more things happen. But they had to know it by observation. If you'd have went to a place today and said, find me people that are full of the Holy Ghost, they'd be running around saying, "Oh, well, he spoke with tongues, he speaks with tongues, he does this, he does that." They'd be doing that. I've known people that say they spoke in tongues a lot, and I've seen some of them be as wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir. I have too.
I've known some preachers that sit there, were supposedly filled with the Holy Ghost, then you find out they're sleeping with some woman that's not their wife. There's a big difference between having something manifested in your life and actually being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the fruit of the Spirit is there. But they were able to see these things. And we ought to be able to see it. You ought to be able to see it in me. And I ought to be able to see it in you. And it ought to impact the way we behave. The things that are important to us. The things we love. Like when we were talking about love the other day, when going through this sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, we were talking about love. What? Love of God, right? We talked about love of God. We talked about love of the brethren. We talked about love of the lost, of a lost and dying world. Well, you say, "Oh, I love God," but you don't love the Word of God. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to say. How can you say you love God? Isn't the Word of God one of Jesus' names? See what I'm saying? The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are manifested in those that are yielded to the Spirit, those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. And only when you're filled will they properly be manifested. That's why it's so important for us as a church. And then in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So you see, again, gifts of the Spirit, sign gifts, if you will, things that were happening, signs and wonders, things that God did, bearing witness, the Holy Ghost bearing witness, as the Scripture says. And then, But you also see in Acts 6, 9, all the way through Acts 7, 53, if we were to read that whole passage, and for time's sake, I'm not going to go read it all, but you know what happened after Peter got to preaching, after Stephen got to preaching, and Stephen did things. In verse 9 says, there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Once again, goes back to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 we talked about last week. You know, he would give us a mouth and wisdom that our enemies wouldn't be able to gainsay nor resist. All right, so there's a fulfillment of that yet again. And so they set up false witnesses against him. They got people to accuse him falsely. And then he goes through all that thing and goes through the book of Acts chapter 6 through 9 all the way to Acts chapter 7 and verse 53. And I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he goes down and he preaches to them and witnesses to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he goes and shows from the scripture going all the way back throughout their entire history to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Savior. So he had what? Boldness to preach the Word of God again. Boldness and power to be a witness. And you find me a bunch of so-called spirit-filled people who don't care and don't want to talk about Jesus, they are lying about being filled with the Spirit.
That's right.
Because when the Spirit of God gets in your heart, you want to tell people. And we need that in this day and age, don't we? Oh, the time's getting short, preacher. We were over at Bethel, and the one pastor they had there, he must have mentioned the Laodicean church age 20 times. I may be exaggerating just a little bit, but it sure seemed like it. He talked a lot about it. It's every time that people, need to be filled with the Spirit. I guess if we're in that Laodicean church time, then I guess this would be the time to do it. Not all those folks that Jesus rebuked at that church of Laodicea were wrong with God. Not all of them were that way. But by and large there were. So which group do you want to hang with? Which group do you want to be with? And I'm just trying to get you to understand that. But then you go all the way down to where they've gotten to the point where they're so mad at him that they gnashed their teeth on him. They rushed on him with one accord. Right? What did it say? In Acts chapter 7:55 it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I'll tell you another thing about a spirit-filled person. A spirit-filled person will be able to see things that carnal folks and lost folks can't see. They'll be able to look at the world and be able to understand what's going on. Unfortunately, most of our professing Christians this day get their understanding of the things that are going on in the world from either ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or Fox. And you don't see the world for what it is. I'm not against people being political in the sense of being concerned about the politics of our age, but understand something. That's not the answer. And by all means, you ought to be praying for this election and praying for God's mercy about the upcoming election. And you ought to vote for the most righteous outcome you can figure out. And we ought to be asking God to give us wisdom in that too. And praying for the candidates and praying for their salvation and all these type of things. But there's no elections going to fix this nation. It's going to take God to do it. There's no election going to fix this area here. It'll take God. But Stephen was able to look up. He was able to see something that nobody else could see. And God gave him a glimpse into heaven, and he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he saw things. When you get Spirit-filled, you'll read the Bible and you'll see things. You'll get answers to questions that bother you. You'll get encouragement. You'll get rebuke if it's necessary. You'll see, have you ever noticed how you can be, and I understand all the things. People can play games and we have an altar call. You may have some people come up. You may have some people not come up. Whatever the case may be. Quit looking on the outward side, but I'll tell you something about it. When you have people that hear the preaching of God's Word and they're believers and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, God is going to speak through the message to them. Whether the preacher does a good work, good job or not, if they hear the Word of God, God will speak to their heart. He'll show them things, and other people around them won't see a thing. You know, they might be sitting in the pew saying, well, it must be something wrong with them. They went forward. You ought to be asking yourself, I wonder what he saw that I didn't see. I wonder what she saw that I didn't see. Huh? I'm just being honest with you. We've got to get to this point. And then you look again and you look at the rest of the things. You know, you see the fruit of the Spirit with Stephen there again and all that thing that he was dealt with. And all the difficulty he had. What did he have? Well, he had peace, didn't he? He was long-suffering toward those people that were accusing them. You saw the grace and the mercy he showed. What did he say before he fell asleep? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Isn't that what he said? And you see his faith. He was full of faith. That's fruit of the Spirit. Peace, fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, fruit of the Spirit. One fruit manifested in however many ways the Scripture says. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want you to think about that in that term. So when we go through this and we look at this and we see people, one of the things that we can see about these folks that are filled with the Holy Ghost, do we see from time to time, do we see gifts manifestation like tongues or healing or prophecy? Do we see those types of gifts? Sure we do. But there's a lot of other gifts that are being manifest in there. There's helps, administrations, all the stuff you're seeing in there. If you would go down the list of deals. But they're not specifically called out, are they? So we just latch on, instead of reading the Bible and let Scripture interpret Scripture, we just latch on to one or two things and say, oh, that's, you know. And we get that way. You know, whether you're all wrapped up in tongues being the ultimate evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, or whether you're just like, oh, tongues aren't for today. It doesn't matter. We just grab onto one thing, don't we? But we shouldn't do that. We should read the Bible. And you see all of these things being manifest by people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. You see a difference in their behavior. You see love for the brethren. You see love for God, for the things of God. And you see love for the lost. You know, when Peter said we ought to obey God, when Peter and the other apostles, not just Peter, it said Peter and the other apostles, they all said we ought to obey God rather than men. What they're saying is we can't shut up because God's commanded us to love you. We have to tell you the truth. No matter what's going to happen to us, we have to do that. So as we look at people being filled with the Holy Ghost, the one thing about it, we look in the scriptures and we're reading from the perspective of God, and God is showing us how these people, the behavior and the things that happened with these people that were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to be able to see that too in the behavior of the people around us. You say, well, I don't see that in other people. And that's probably true. And there'd be two reasons for that. One, you're not looking for it. And two, it's not there. But you'll never see it unless you're looking for it. If you want to be able to see if somebody's filled, you know, I'll say this to you. You know why people were able to see that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because there were a lot of people in that church that were filled with the Holy Ghost. They could see things. Yeah. They didn't see things from the world's idea. You know? They didn't sit there when somebody came and sold a piece of land and laid it down at the apostles' feet and said, hey, let's use this to feed folks. Let's use this to get the gospel out. Let's do that. They didn't look at it and say, boy, that was a waste. They didn't see it that way. They saw it different. And I just want to say, beloved, when we look at the scriptures and everything, if we get folks that are spirit filled, we're going to know it. It's going to show itself. And that'll be something that every one of us wants. Every one of us ought to want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That ought to be our desire. You won't have it unless you desire it. And what did Jesus say also in the book of Luke? If ye then been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's there for the asking. It's within the reach of every one of us. But the devil doesn't want us to believe that. But it's within your grasp. If you're a believer, if you're truly saved, if you're truly born again, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's within your grasp. But it requires us to yield. It requires us to submit. It requires us to want what God has for us. Individually, not just as a church. It's got to start with us individually, doesn't it? Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the Sunday school lesson. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray, Lord, that what I've said has made a difference. And Lord, you'd open the eyes of not just the folks here, but myself also. Lord, you know what I need. You know what I need to see. But Lord, help us to just understand as we go through this. Just grow with conviction that this being filled with the Holy Ghost is something that we can have. We can be available. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we can live a life that's different than anything this world can imagine. We'll see things that other people cannot. And Lord, we'll get victory over the flesh, victory over sin. Help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.